A very good morning. Let us turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Right, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 1 to verse 10 on the topic of when God calls. When God calls. Now, generally, when we speak of the calling of God in the Bible, there are two main ideas that come forth. There is one which is the call to salvation. And very often the word calling or called is used in that sense. Right? Where the Bible says he has called us, he has saved us, and he has called us with an holy calling. And that is the event in our lives where the gospel is shared with us and we receive not just the outward call to salvation, whereby the gospel that is shared with you calls you to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is also that inward call where the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and draws us unto God and we are saved. And very often when the Bible speaks of calling, there is that aspect, the call to salvation. But there is also the call to service, the call to service. And we saw that in the passage that we read just now in Matthew chapter 4, where the Lord Jesus Christ called the disciples, Peter and John. And they were fishermen, they were there, you know, casting their nets, they were there at the seaside, mending their nets, involved in their occupation. And then the Lord says, follow me and I will make you fishers, no longer of fish, but you be fishers of men. It means God redirected their lives and now called them now to be his disciples. That from henceforth, they will follow Jesus. They will no longer be those that go out into the sea and cast their nets. They will be servants of the Lord. And in a sense, they will be now fishers of men. Their duty, their calling will be to so-called catch men for the Lord, to share the gospel, to draw them unto Christ. And we see that. We see that in numerous other people as well. Oftentimes, the Apostle Paul, he describes himself as one who has been called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. It is this second calling that we want to focus on this morning, where we focus now, we look at the account of the call of young Samuel, where God called him. And in response, he says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And from thenceforth, he understood his role as a servant of the Lord. And God called him to be a prophet of the Lord. And the rest of his life, he will live in complete dedication to the Lord. And so, on one hand, yes, the idea of calling can be with regards to the call to the full-time ministry. And that is a specific call. You hear of, people testify concerning. And by the grace of God, it is something that I myself received more than 20 years ago. And I heard the call of the Lord and I came to understand and realize, well, that is what the Lord wants me to do. To serve him in, well, what they call the full-time capacity. That means for the rest of my life, well, that is what I'll be doing, to serve the Lord in such a role. But it is not exclusive to that also. Because all believers, we are all called to serve the Lord. At certain points of time in our lives, the Lord will direct us, to help us to realize and understand that, well, this is where the Lord wants us to be. This is where the Lord wants us to serve him. And so it could refer to a specific ministry in the church, for example, where the Lord calls us to serve him as a deacon, perhaps, or as an elder of the church, or as a Sunday school teacher, or to serve in some area of ministry, in some certain committees or areas of leadership, or maybe to fulfill a certain task or a role. And it could be for a season, or it could be a lifelong thing, where that is the role that you play. That is the ministry that you are involved in. But it could also be in a less formal manner, in which it is not a particular office or a title that you hold, but is an act of service where the Lord calls you at this point of time, perhaps to reach out to a certain brother or sister in Christ. Or the Lord calls you or moves you to approach a particular friend, an acquaintance, and share the gospel with them, knowing that, well, you are in that unique position that you can be of influence into this particular person. And that is a calling as well. Or it could be a calling where the Lord at this point is calling you out of a state of spiritual slumber, out of a state of backsliding. You have been distant from the Lord for a while, and the Lord calls you back to himself. And so really, you know, the term call has quite a broad range of meaning, and all of which can be applied to what we are considering this morning. Right? For Samuel himself, it was particularly with regards to his call to be a prophet of the Lord. But as we think about instances in our lives where the Lord calls us, I mean, we can apply it to all these various callings that we perhaps may receive or maybe are receiving right now. Well, you realize that, yes, the Lord has an intention, a purpose, a will for us. How will we respond to that call? Are we resisting the call of the Lord? Are we trying to run from the call of the Lord? Or will we be receptive to where it is that he wants us to serve? Or how it is that he wants us to live? Are we being willful and self-centered? Or are we going to be humble and submissive? And so for Samuel, right, he had this unique experience of being called audibly by the Lord, in a sense where God spoke directly to him. It may not happen in the exact same way for us. Or perhaps, I dare say, it perhaps will not happen to us in that exact same manner. But there will be various ways and means in which God will call us to convict us, to direct us, to draw us unto himself through various ways and means as we walk close to him. Perhaps even right now, as we listen to the word of God being preached, as we read God's word, as we pray unto him, he communicates with us, because you remember, this is the word of God. It is God's word to us that is a means by which he communicates to us. And there will be times in which where we read, where we listen, we hear the call of God. And God moves us and directs us to help us to realize that this is what he wants us to do. This is how he wants us to live. And many times, you know, it will not be sort of direct, personalized, in a sense where, oh, you know, something jumps out at you and a series of coincidences happen. Sometimes it may be that way. But other times it is just a very clear direction that the Word of God has. Warning us about sin, for example. Telling us that this is not at all how a believer ought to live. And it becomes personal because we realize that, well, that is a sin that I'm involved in, and that is what God wants to repent of. Or a call to service, where it is, yes, in a sense, general in the Word of God, but it is specific in that it is a direction, it is an instruction that we need at this point of time. That I do not want my life to be wasted. I do want to utilize the gifts, the talents, and the opportunities that God has granted to me. And so I respond to the call. And so, as we study the life of Samuel, as we consider what is happening to him at this point of time, we can learn also what it means to respond to the call, that we too can be ready when the Lord calls us. Not if, they will be when. Or if the Lord is calling you even right now, how will you respond? And firstly, we ask, are you ready? Are you ready for the call? And we see that in young Samuel here. So we know the backstory of him. He was dedicated to serve the Lord, actually, from his birth. Although that was the dedication by his mother, right? It was his mother's vow that he will serve the Lord all the days of his life. I mean, on his own part, he had to respond to that call as well. And you know, for the earliest part of his life, probably he was not fully aware of what that entailed. He did not know any other childhood than a childhood of being sent to the tabernacle at a very young age. And now he was raised by Eli, the priest. And the role that, well, was for him was that he will be there and he will serve. But personally, he still had to receive that direct call from the Lord also to help him to realize and understand exactly what it is that the Lord wanted him to do. We are given a little bit of background here in verse 1 and verse 2, where he, as a child, he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So in a sense, you can say he was already serving in that he was fulfilling the duties that have been granted to him. Right, so he had various responsibilities that he had to fulfill at that point of time. Some of the perhaps more menial tasks that the priests had to do. Or at least one in particular that we know is in verse 15. You just glance down to verse 15 of the same chapter, where we are told that Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. So it seemed that that was one, at least one of his responsibilities. Every morning, he will be the one in charge of, well, physically opening the doors, right? At the point of time, it was not yet the temple as we know it, the temple that was built later on during the time of Solomon, but it was the tabernacle at the point of time, and so, well, he had that responsibility, at least to open the doors, perhaps to light the candles, to prepare certain things, move around some of the instruments or furniture of the tabernacle, some of these tasks. And this is what it meant here when he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He had certain duties, he fulfilled them. What this also tells us is likely he was a little bit older by now. Right? In chapter 2, we are introduced to him as a young boy. Shortly after he was weaned, and then that same year, he was brought to the temple, or rather to the tabernacle to stay with Eli. But by now, the Bible tells us that Eli himself, verse 2, he was moving on in years, and so a number of years had passed by then. So Eli was getting old, he was an old man by now, his vision was failing. And so likely Samuel would have been perhaps in his early teens. Right? This word child, the same word child, was actually used on David when he faced Goliath. And by our reckoning, David would have been around maybe 17 years of age, most commentators believe, calculated to be about there. He was about 17 years of age when he faced Goliath, but the term child, right, was still used on him. So this Hebrew word can refer to anyone who is even up to a youth, right? So Samuel, at this point of time, perhaps was, you know, in his maybe early teens. And so he had been in the temple for a while. And he had been fulfilling all these duties, these roles, right, as the sort of adopted son of Eli. Another description during this time reminds us of the fact that it was, you know, still in the period of Judges, where the Bible says the word of the Lord was precious. What that meant was that it was rare. It was few and far between. And you see that during the time of the judges. It was a time of spiritual deplorability. You know, people were far from the Lord, and there were very few instances in which the Lord made his will known directly to them. There were some, right? For example, in the time of Gideon and Jephthah, the Lord directed them, the Lord spoke to them, but they were few and far between. And that's what it meant there by the fact that there was no open vision. There was no direct revelation from God, as they would have in time to come as we enter into the period of kings. And there'll be prophets that the Lord will send, and Samuel was one of the first of them. And so he sort of bridged that gap between the period of the judges. He was described as the last judge of Israel, and, well, he was a prophet of the Lord also. And so he was sort of that bridge between these two periods, serving both as a judge and as a prophet. But the Bible says that at that point of time, there was no open vision. So it's not a common occurrence at all. It's not something well known to them that the Lord will speak to them in such a way. And perhaps that's part of the reason why it took Samuel and Eli quite a while to realize actually what was going on when the Lord spoke to Samuel. But the Bible told us that even at that point of time, you know, Samuel was, well, a good boy, right? Verse 26 of chapter 2 told us that already, that as the child Samuel grew on, he was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. I mean, it's basically they looked at him and, you know, he had their favor. He had their approval. He had the grace of God and the grace of men, the favor of men, the favor of God with him. They looked well upon him because perhaps you can say that was his natural disposition. He was obedient. He was good. He was well taught by his mother in the few years that she had with him. And as he started to stay at the temple, he was, well, quite a, you can say, easy child to manage, as hard as that may be to some of us. But we see that also, right, in the way that he would now respond to the call of the Lord here in these few verses. Okay. So there was a particular night, the Bible tells us in verse 3. That means before, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. What does that mean? Now, part of the responsibility of the priests, and that is outlined for us in Exodus 27 specifically, is that every single day, every single night, they would fill the lights, the candlesticks, with oil. And so in those days, you know, that's how it was. You had this little candlesticks, and you have to fill it with oil such that, you know, it will enable the light to continue to burn. And so they will fill these candlesticks or lights with enough oil to last through the night. And so the lamp will continue to burn all the way until the morning. And so that's what it was referring to here, that before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, so probably in the early hours of the morning, right, before dawn, when the lights will go out, you don't need the lights anymore because the sun is up, that Samuel was sleeping. Okay. And it was then that the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here am I." I want to pay attention particularly to verse 5. When the call came, he ran unto Eli. He ran to Eli, and then he said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." Think about that for a moment. All of you who have children, especially. How rare is it that a child will respond in such a way? You call to him in the middle of the night, he hears you, and what is his response? He jumps out of bed, he runs to you, and very obediently says, "Here am I." Now that rarely happens even during the day, much less in the middle of the night. In fact, often it's the opposite that happens, right? And as a parent and as an adult, even I'm reluctant to do that. There'll be times, and I remember a couple of nights ago, our youngest one, she's about 3, going on 4. It still happens from time to time, she cries. She calls, "Mommy, Mommy." Most of the time, my wife will be the one that wakes up and goes to tend to her. There was one evening where I somehow woke up with that call, and I just lay there. Hopefully it goes away. "Mommy, Mommy." I don't want to get out. It's cold. And oftentimes, even if I do get there, she doesn't want me. She wants Mommy, and then I have to go back, and Mom comes again. But eventually, I found it in myself to get up and to go and tend to her. But it took a while. And most of the time, it won't resolve. And so you have to lie down for a while and all that. But, I mean, that's how we are, right? When a call comes, when we are comfortably laid down in our beds, we don't want to respond. But Samuel, A remarkable young boy. He heard the voice and he was woken up by that voice. And his immediate reaction was to run to Eli and then simply say, "Here am I." And, you know, while we are told that verse 7, he had not yet known the Lord, right? And that he had never prior had this personal interaction with the Lord. You know, even in his own personal behavior, what we see is that Samuel was one who was very ready to answer the call. In what we see in him, in this very remarkable response from this young boy, to arise and run to Eli, showed that obedience, it showed that humility, that submission, it showed that eagerness to obey, which is really something, yes, highly commendable, but something that, of course, we can all learn from. That he was almost to the point you can say selfless, remarkably selfless in his dedication to service. I mean, his role at this point of time likely was to be, yes, a helper to Eli. Eli, as the Bible says, was hard on seeing. He could not see well. His eyes had begun to wax dim, and so probably he needed a lot of assistance. Maybe it was something that Eli would do from time to time. That, you know, if he were to stir in the middle of the night, maybe he needs some sort of assistant help to get out of bed, maybe to go to the bathroom. He'll call upon Samuel. Samuel will be the one on hand, ready to assist him. And so Samuel fulfilled that role. But a very wonderful picture of obedience here. And you know, it didn't happen just once, not even twice, three times. And so you remember the night that I was telling you about? It happened once, went over, calmed her down, and came back. And a couple of hours later, it happened again. Oh, this time I was really reluctant. Happened once already, you want me to get up a second time? I'm not going to do that, right? And that's often how we feel. Especially the first time, it was a false alarm at least to his mind, right? The Bible says, the Lord called Samuel, he said, "Here am I." He ran to Eli, but then Eli said, "No, I did not call you, lie down again." So he went back to sleep, but then the Lord called him again, verse 6, and Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Second time. Then he answered, "I called thee not, my son, lie down again." And then only the third time he went, verse 8, it happened again. He went three times. And I mean, I know it's a little relatively small thing in the sense of sleeping and waking and being called, but I mean, for a young boy or a teen to do that, it is definitely very remarkable. But what we see in him, this heart of readiness, right? Three times the Lord called, three times he responded. And each time Eli said, "Not me," and he goes back to sleep. And you know, like the boy that cried wolf, we all know the story, right? Wolf, wolf, once the villagers come, second time the villagers come, third time they say, "Well, he's just playing a trick on us. Why should we respond?" And they never came. That was not Samuel. Three times he thought it was Eli, he heard his name, and three times he rushed to his side. So that was Samuel, ready for the call. But the second point I want to consider is then, well, if the Lord truly does come, call, can you discern the call? How do we know, really, that it is indeed the Lord calling? Samuel didn't know. And if it were not for Eli, he might never have realized that. Okay? The reason explained here in verse 7 is that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and neither was the word of the Lord revealed yet unto him. Now, what does it mean here? Okay. You know, earlier on in chapter 2, that same phrase had been used, but sadly that was used, of course, of the sons of Eli. I remember verse 12, and we considered that. I think 2 weeks ago, where the Bible says that they were sons of Belial. That means that they were sons of worthlessness. They were unbelievers. And the phrase was that they knew not the Lord. It's not that they didn't know about God. They did. Of course, they did not have any personal walk or relationship with the Lord. They did not have that knowledge of God. And they were not saved. And at this point of time, the Bible says that was actually how Samuel was also. But not because he was like them, you know, terribly sinful, wicked, malicious even. He was young. He was young. And perhaps you can say it was a testament, actually a sad indictment on Eli. He did not teach or explain or guide young Samuel to the personal knowledge of the Lord. But at the same time, we also say, you know, he was a young boy, all right, maybe in his early teens. And so he had not yet matured or to grown to that sort of understanding of having that personal relationship with the Lord. Everything he had done perhaps was just on instruction from Eli, do this, do that, and so he humbly just simply obeyed. By the point of time, the Lord had not revealed himself to Samuel yet, and neither, of course, had he been called to be a prophet. And so in a sense, what it also means is that he had never heard the voice of God speaking to him before in such a manner. And that's why when the Lord called him, he did not know that this was actually God speaking to him. He didn't know what it sounded like. He didn't know what it was like at all. Now, but Eli should have known better, you see. Because Eli, yes, despite his failure to teach his sons about God and to teach Samuel about God, but yet he was, well, the high priest. And he was one who did at least receive revelation from God. At least one instance that we know of was with regards to Samuel's mother, Hannah. When she prayed, and then he was able to assure Hannah that the Lord has answered her prayers. And so there were instances in which Eli, we don't know if it's the exact same way, but Eli should have known, should have discerned or recognized, well, what the call of the Lord is all about. But in this, what we see is the importance of discerning the Lord's call. Because it was only the third time when that happened, then finally Eli came to realize that something is going on. It was not just Samuel imagining things, he was not just dreaming. It was actually someone calling him, but he knew he was not himself. And so he realized, oh, who could it be? Well, it has to be the Lord. And that's why on the third time that the Lord called Samuel, verse 8 tells us that again, like in the past, he arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And then Eli perceived that, yes, indeed, the Lord had called the child. And that's why he then gave that instruction, says, "Go, lie down, and answer." But we want for a moment to talk about now how to discern this call. And from what we gather here in these few verses, right, Samuel was not able to because he did not know the Lord. And therefore, in that itself is a simple principle laid down in that only believers will be able to hear the call of the Lord. We have to, of course, first have that personal walk and relationship with the Lord before we are able to respond and to discern that indeed the Lord is calling us. The Lord will not call us if we do not yet know him. Now, for some people, that call to salvation and the call to service may happen in the same event. For example, Samuel, where he now comes to know the Lord, and he is also called to be a prophet of the Lord. And we see him fulfilling that very first task, right, in bringing that message that God gave to him over to Eli. That was his first, you can say, act of prophecy that he gives. The Apostle Paul was another such example, right, where the Lord shone that light upon him on that road to Damascus. And he realized, right? He asked that question, "Lord, who art thou?" And the Lord says, "Well, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And straight away, Paul's response was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want of me? How do you want me to serve him?" And 3 days later, the Lord answered that question. The Lord sent Ananias and explained to him that he will bear my name before the kings and Gentiles and the Jews, and show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. Right? So for the Apostle Paul, he was saved, and soon after that, he was called to serve the Lord. Same for Samuel. But for many people, well, it may not be in that same instance, right? There were many, for example, the disciples. I mean, they were faithful already, and then they were called to follow Jesus. Right? There were many prophets that already knew the Lord, and then at a point of time in their life, they were called to be a prophet of the Lord. But that's, well, the first prerequisite, right? In order to know, to discern the Lord, of course, you have to know the Lord. But of course, there is also, you know, years of experience, of being sensitive to the Lord's leading. And sadly, what we see in Eli was that, you know, his, in a way you can say, the sensitivity seemed to be dulled. It took a while before he realized that God actually was calling. And sometimes if we are not walking close to the Lord, that may be what results, where it takes a while for us to realize or come to our senses that this is indeed where the Lord is leading us. Instead, oftentimes what we realize is that it's only when we are close to the Lord, we're walking close to him, we are actively praying, continually praying, we are reading God's word, we are meditating upon his truth, you know, we're constantly receiving instruction from God through his word, through sermons we listen to, Bible studies we attend. Now, these are the various ways and means which God can make his will clear and known to us. And that is how we discern. That is how we realize or understand. Or the word here that the Bible uses is perceive. Right? That's how we perceive that the Lord is indeed calling. But that comes, well, through that spiritual sensitivity. And that is something that we must all inculcate. That's what it means to walk close to the Lord. Because, you know, when you're close to someone, that is when we know a person well. And ideally, that's how we should be able to know better their wants, their wishes, right? I mean, that's how relationships are like. If you don't know a person well, right, you may not be able to read some of these nonverbal cues that they give off. Or even if they say things that you don't know, you're not able to read between the lines or not to know exactly what is it that they're asking for, what is it that they want. But if you know a person well enough, well, you begin to pick up on these things, right? Your children, your spouse. Now, these are people that you should know and understand very well. And maybe early on in your relationship, when you first got to know, you know, your husband or your wife, you didn't know them that well, right? And so sometimes they will have to say things outright, or maybe say things multiple times before it got to your head. Oh, okay, that's what she wants. That's what he wants. But ideally what happens over time is that as you get to know your spouse better and better, you understand them, you are able to read them. And there may come a point where they don't even have to say, you know already, right? Because you know her very well, inside out. You know her moods, you know her desires, you know her heart. And you're able to anticipate even, right? This is, well, what she would like. This is what she would desire. And perhaps that sort of happens maybe in your working dynamics, right? With your colleagues and your bosses. When you first enter into the company, you're pretty clueless. You don't know what needs to be done, what is the expectation, what are the requirements. You don't know, right? But then the more you work with your colleagues, you begin to understand their working style. You begin to understand the expectations of your bosses and the differing expectations of the different people above you. And you understand why, because that comes with knowledge. That comes as you are more and more acquainted with a person. You work together with them, work alongside them, you understand them better. And in a way, that's how it is with us and God. As we become closer and closer to him, what happens is that we become more sensitive to his leading. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we don't always have to wait until a very direct call comes, and it's when, like Samuel, it says, Samuel, Samuel, and then here am I. And as we read God's word, We understand God better. And then the path or the purpose that, you know, what God has in store for our lives actually does become clearer and clearer. Because for one, our lives become more sanctified. We begin to be able to weed out, you know, the dross of our lives, the more inconsequential, perhaps more frivolous, useless parts of our lives. We're going to realize that, you know, some of these things that we pursue really have no meaning, have no purpose before the Lord, and these are things which we should do away with. And our lives become more centered and focused on serving the Lord, more centered and focused on really the basic things that God desires for every believer. That we will turn away from the sin of the world, that we will seek to be a witness for the Lord, that we will seek to utilize the gifts that God has given to us to effectively serve Him. And I mean, all these things contribute to the callings that you discern for you in your life. Because it will be a lifelong thing as we come to understand more and more of how it is that the Lord wants us to serve Him. I mean, even for example, the life of a pastor. Yes, there was a particular point that I look back and I know, okay, God called me. And by now it's actually 20 years ago, that the Lord called me. And while I knew then that I had an idea or a sense, okay, the Lord wants to call me into the full-time ministry, but at that point of time, I did not know exactly what that would entail. I just had an understanding, I just want to enter into Bible college and study first. What after that? I had no idea. But along the way, as the Lord called me and I grew in my understanding and knowledge of Him, then, well, there were certain directions along the way. Firstly, I served the Lord in my home church in Singapore. The Lord sent me to Perth for a season and then back to Singapore. Along the way, there were little signs here and there, little directions, as I also began to understand my gifts as well and the areas in which I could be of best use to the Lord. And the Lord directed me in these and that directions. I did not know all these things 20 years ago. And I'm still continuing to learn. I'm still continuing to discern. But all these things come as you walk close to the Lord. As the desire is there, right, that I want to serve the Lord. I want to be of best use to Him. And I began to realize, okay, this is perhaps where I can be more effective. Perhaps these are some areas in which the Lord has not enabled me and not gifted me. And so, you know, these perhaps are best left to others that are more equipped or better suited for these other tasks. And I will focus and do that which the Lord wants me and has called me to do. And so it will be a lifelong quest as we continue to fine-tune this perception, as what Eli is described as doing here, this discernment, this understanding, where it is that the Lord wants us to serve Him at. And rest assured, you know, as we walk close to the Lord, you know, as we draw nigh to Him, He will show us. He will not just leave us floundering. He, you know, as long as we have that earnest and sincere desire to serve Him, we pray and seek Him, we read His word, well, He will direct us. He will direct us. But is that something that we desire? Is that something that we are actively pursuing? That we are firstly ready for the call, and then we are seeking to discern God's call for us, for our lives? Is God calling you right now? And if so be, are you receptive to the call? And that's a final thought that we're going to have this morning. Will you be receptive to the call? So for Samuel, what happens? So Eli finally realized that indeed the Lord is the one that is calling him. And so for the third time after that, Eli now says to Samuel, verse 9, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee," that means the Lord calls you, "that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And so, well, basically what Eli was telling Samuel, continue to be obedient. But this time round, instead of running to me, you run to the Lord. Right? You run to the Lord. And with that same eagerness, the same enthusiasm, the same humility, and the same submission, you turn to the Lord in faith and obedience. Because that's what it means to be receptive to the call, to be humble and submissive before the Lord, to surrender and to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Here am I. And did Samuel do that? Exactly as Eli instructed. And so he went down, and he went and lay down in his place, went back to sleep. And then, verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. So in the same way, Samuel, Samuel. And so by now, this was the fourth time. But you see how patient the Lord was. The Lord was understanding. And yes, you did not know me yet. You need further instruction, guidance, wisdom, support from Eli. And sometimes that's what, you know, the Lord sends our way as well. Or the Lord sends other mature believers into our lives to help us to discern and to understand, direct us. But on Samuel's part, of course, he had to have that humility and that submission. And so the Lord came and stood. And Samuel, what was his response? He answered. He answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That is what it means to be receptive to the call. That wherever it is that the Lord calls us, however it is that the Lord calls us, we respond and we answer. It may not always be so straightforward, because sometimes when we look at the other callings that the Bible describes in the Bible, that is being described for us in the Bible, there are certain queries, certain concerns that they have. And oftentimes that's the case, isn't it? When the Lord calls us, we have various arguments that we make. I'm not ready. Are you sure it's me? How can it be me? I mean, personally, when the Lord called myself, I had many of such concerns. But we see, you know, the life of some of these individuals called, and in a way that was how God also allayed the concerns that I had. One, for example, was Isaiah. If you look at the call of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, right? Isaiah's call was interesting in that God seemed to actually preempt his concerns. Because what God first gave him was a vision of himself in Isaiah chapter 6, where he saw the train of God, the glory of God, and the angels round about him, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And then, you know, before God even called him, he was the first to cry out and say, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and an unclean generation." What does he mean? He says, I'm sinful. I have unclean lips. How can I preach? How can I serve the Lord? And then the Lord sent an angel to dip the tongs into the burning coals and, you know, touch his lips, as it were, to say that this same altar upon which, you know, the sacrifice is made for the atonement of sins, now that fire now touches your lips and cleanses you. And he says, "Thy iniquity is taken, thy sin is purged." And then the Lord asks, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." So very similar, right, to Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." "Here am I, send me." And again, that is the heart of a servant, right? That receptive heart which says, "Yes, Lord, wherever it is that you want me to go, send me and I will go. Wherever he leads, I will go." And that is what it means to respond, right? To be humble and submissive before the Lord. And by faith, just simply says, "Yes, Lord, as you have assured me that my sins are cleansed, I will now go." Because personally, I mean, that was my concern. I was, well, a little bit older than Samuel, so just 21. And I, like any other 21-year-old, there were all these things that I had in my life which I knew was not right in sight of the Lord. And I says, how can a person like me serve the Lord? Well, the Lord assured me of the forgiveness of sins through this passage as I read. And Lord then had that call as well. And I remember in those days, Isaiah 6, 8. But I wasn't yet ready to say, here am I, send me. That's a tall order. Another concern which people often have, and we see in Moses in Exodus 4. I mean, after the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush and said, yes, I want you to go and stand before Pharaoh and I want you to lead my people free. He threw up all these excuses, right? He says, I don't know you. What's your name? Who are you? Who am I? And how can I be the one to go and stand before the people? And finally, one last excuse he gave in chapter 4, in verse 10, he says, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. He says, I can't speak. I mean, to be a leader of Israel, that's what he had to do. He had to stand before Pharaoh. He had to stand before the congregation. He had to address them. And that was another passage which, you know, personally I struggled with also. As I thought about serving the Lord and answering the call, how can I? I don't know. I've never had, you know, opportunities or even dared to have instances where I speak in public. And I knew as a child I was often very tongue-tied. I'll be afraid to, you know, talk to strangers or just look at my feet and never know what the words to say. But again, that's the Lord's assurance, right? He says, who have made man's mouth? Verse 11, who have made the dumb or deaf or seeing the blind? Have not I the Lord? He says, therefore go, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And see, the Lord assured Moses, and in time to come, he was initially reluctant, very reluctant, to the point where he, in the end, he still said, Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Basically, he's saying, well, just send someone else, not me. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Moses. The Lord says, well, I've given you numerous assurances. Will you respond to the call? Will you receive the call and say yes? And finally, yes, Moses went. And eventually, he did become, right, a prophet of the Lord, described as a prophet of the Lord, one who spoke for the Lord. But initially, he had concerns. And so what I'm trying to say here is, see, not everyone that is called straight away says, Lord, here am I, send me, or yes, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There will be concerns. But at the same time, the Lord will allay these concerns. The Lord will know how to speak to us, to direct us. Wherever it is that we are in life, however it is, what sort of concerns or fears that we have. I mean, Samuel was very young at that point of time. But you see, there is no one too young that the Lord cannot use. All of us can serve the Lord. Samuel, he was maybe in his young teens when the Lord called him. Jeremiah was one who was called when he was young. And that was his concern, right? Jeremiah chapter 1. When the Lord called him, the word of the Lord came unto me and said, I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. It couldn't be clearer than that, isn't it? He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And he says, I have ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nation. And that was God's call to Jeremiah. Very clear, right? I want you to be a prophet for me. Jeremiah's response is, verse 6, Ah, Lord, I cannot. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But then the Lord said unto him, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And basically that's what it means to be a prophet, right? To have the words of God in his mouth and to deliver the words of God. And God assured young Jeremiah, don't worry about your age. There is no too young to serve the Lord. And if you ask preacher Joshua Young, I'm sure you're, many of you are familiar with him. Well, this was the verse that the Lord used to call him. I was 21 when the Lord called him, but Joshua was even younger. He was 16 when the Lord called him. And that was, well, more than well over 20 years ago when he entered into FEBC as a very young man at that point of time. And the Lord can use anyone as long as we are ready to receive the call. As long as we discern, we walk close to the Lord, we discern his will. And when the Lord does call, we are receptive to that call. And how about for all of us? And our prayer, of course, always is that the Lord will call more people into the ministry, more people to serve the Lord in a full-time capacity. Because there is always much more that can be done. There are many things that we can do in the Lord's service. And we pray that anyone who hears that call will indeed be receptive. They will not resist, but they will trust that the Lord will be able to direct them, provide for them in their lives. And it is indeed a very, very blessed thing. You know, I was just reflecting personally on, you know, my own life and call. And as I said, it's been 20 years. It hardly feels that way. But it is almost that it is more than half my life that I have, you know, firstly been studying and then serving the Lord. The Lord through the years has been very, very good to us, to firstly me and then when I got married, my wife, and then our family. A lot of people have a lot of reservations, fears, and concerns as they come in and seek to serve the Lord. But I think, you know, what not just myself, but many other that have come before me and, of course, born a much, much better testimony than me, can sincerely testify that the Lord is good. And as we serve the Lord, there is no better place to be. But of course, not every one of us will be called to the full-time ministry. But the Lord does call all of us to serve him, to witness for him, to testify for him. And on our part, we have to be receptive to that call, to not resist or to think that, oh, there are so many other more important things for me to do with my life than to serve the Lord. Well, really, why? Why do we think that way? Are there really so many more important things to do? Because what is it? What is it that we are really doing with our lives? We know that the Lord has called us to salvation. We know that we have been blessed beyond measure to have this forgiveness of sin, the assurance of eternal life. And our question instead ought to be, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Our response should be like Isaiah, who says, here am I, send me. Or like Samuel, who says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's what it means to be receptive, right? Firstly, I mean, he identifies, he understands that he is but a servant of the Lord. And the role of the servant is to simply obey, to hear, to listen, and to obey. And that was what he said. I am thy servant. I'm listening. I'm ready to hear what instructions that you have for me. And of course, the implication is that as I hear, I will follow through. I will obey. And therefore, that should be the cry of every single one of us. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Do we recognize ourselves as servants of the Lord? And are we receptive to the call of God? Will we say, yes, Lord, I am here. I will obey. And so for all these people, I mean, they all had their, you know, worries and concerns, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, Paul, all these servants of the Lord. But they surrendered. They surrendered because the Lord assured them, I am with thee. I have called thee. I will prepare thee. And I will be able to use you. Not because of any good in you, but because God is working through us. We are but channels of God's blessing. So what is our excuse? What is your excuse? Why are you not answering the call of the Lord? Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, I thank thee for indeed thy word that comes to us. We thank thee for thy truth that has been made so clear in helping us to see and understand what is thy call for us. And for wherever it is that we are in life right now, we pray that thou help us to be receptive to thy call, that we will not resist, We will not fight against thy call like Jonah. We will not seek to run, but instead we will, as Samuel was, to be humble and submissive and to cry unto thee, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We pray that thou bless us. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.